All right, let's open our Bible, please, and look at Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter number 25. So good to see all of you present in the service tonight. And I want you to really pray the Lord will help us and bless us, and God's will be done. I appreciate both of the testimonies and presentations that have been made tonight. And of course, we look forward to hearing from others, the Lord willing, throughout the week. And let's really pray the Lord's will be done. It's always a blessing to be back at Ridgeview Baptist Church. I appreciate all that God's doing, both here in this church and then through this church abroad, through the work of missions around the world. You know, can I make this statement? A guy don't mind, I want to make this statement. The judgment seat of Christ will be an amazing time. Now, there's an area of it I dread. I mean that. I dread it. But I'm telling you, for an example, when this church, for the first time, sees the fruit of your mission program. When you and I see the first time who's been saved through the outreach ministry of this church. But section, this is personal, but I want to take a moment and tell it. I think you remember when Brother Bill Goins did this track of mine, made it in color about 5-6 years ago. I showed it to Brother Ricky Grabley. And Brother Grabley looked at it and said, "Can I have that?" I said, "Yes." And he just kind of chucked it in his Bible. Some months later, they were having their Jubilee meeting, and a lady came in who was known to be possessed with evil spirits, went over to the fellowship hall during service, and was fixing to write on the wall, had the colored, you know, the markers on in her hand, right on the wall. A deacon sitting in that church got an urge that just, he forgot something at the fellowship hall, he forgot to check, and he went back over there and said to her, "What are you doing?" And she told him, "The devil told me to come and write these satanic messages on the wall here." And this fella, just a common Joe Doe, you know, I mean, nobody, just common man, no preacher, no powerful personality, talked to her into coming into that meeting. And she came that night, she came back the next night and went in. Sunday night, she came in and had a little problem with her on the last night of Jubilee that they were having. And so Brother Gravely went back and spoke to her before he got up to preach. He told her, "You know, we can't have any problem while we're preaching tonight, and you've got to be quiet and listen." And she said to him, "Preacher, I don't want to be a problem." Started crying. "I just want peace." He said, "Now, I'm serious. I don't want to be a problem. All I want is peace." And between the back of their church building to the pulpit, Brother Gravely's fixing to preach, he remembers a gospel tract that said, "Do you want peace?" He got up, and you've heard the story, Brother Josh, many times, you know. He got up and expounded about 7 or 8 minutes on that track, "Do you want peace?" And Manessa got saved. And as a result of that, it was a break-in on a circle of drug users, and I think the last count I had, there was 8 saved. I'm not sure. I know I got to preach there one night, and 2 was saved one night that I was there. Me and Brother Simpson preached together. Here's what's on my heart. Manessa went to heaven last night. Sometime during the night, I think I'm correct, anyway, the last 24 hours, Manessa went to heaven. I wrote that track when I was about 25 or 26 years old. I'm saying this to encourage you young people. You don't have to wait to be 75 before you do something from God. But that's what it's about. If that's not our motive, let's shut her down and go to the house. Yeah, boy. Yeah. The bottom line is, souls are going to hell. Souls are lost. Souls are dying. Men are crying. We sing the song, but we don't like to live it. Win the lost at any cost. But Sexton, I feel like it's the Lord's will. I want to just preach tonight a few moments on why I don't want sinners to go to hell. Why I do not want sinners to go to hell. If that's not missions, I really don't know what missions is. That's a purpose, keeping sinners out of hell. But I want to make this statement. Sinners, whether you live across the street, across the state, or across the sea, all go to the same hell. You can be a member of Ridgeview Baptist Church and go to hell. I don't really mean, I'm not being mean, but you can be a missionary's wife, missionary's children, pastor's wife, pastor's children, preacher's wife. Anybody that's not saved by the grace of God can and will go to hell. If we can rescue one person, and we will rescue more than that, if we rescue souls from hell, it will be worth our being here these days in this weather to the glory of Christ. I want you to pray. I need this charge, and I want you to pray God will help me. Stand with me if you will, please. Our Bible open. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 41. And I will not preach long. I don't plan on it tonight. But I want you to let God speak to your heart. And you never know. You never know. We've seen numbers of people saved in mission meetings. I remember one time in particular, Brother Jackson, I preached on faith promise giving, the Sunday service. And four people were saved. I remember another meeting I was preaching in up in Virginia, and I preached again that Sunday morning, Sunday school, and 11 o'clock service on faith promise giving. They were you and I would call a hippie, came in and sat down back in the back on that Sunday morning, sat there for the whole service. And I gave him an invitation, he got up and went around that way and come down, and I thought, well, he's gone. But he turned down the aisle. God saved him, and the next year I was back up there, and guess what? He is leading the singing. That is haircut. That always works. Amen. God saves sinners. That's the bottom line. That's what it's all about. Verse number 41. The Bible said, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message for this evening from God's eternal Word. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before You in prayer. Lord, I do want to say thank You for the joy of salvation. Thank You again, dear Lord, that You let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. You saved me by Your grace. You called me to preach. You put me in the ministry. You've kept me there, dear Lord, all these years. And, dear Lord, You've given me great joy and victory in knowing and serving You. Yet, Lord, as I count my blessings, my heart has just been reminded again tonight. Lord, here are two cities represented in these two presentations. Lord, with almost 50 million people in these two cities, Lord, that need the gospel. Lord, they're everywhere. They're all around the world. As I said earlier, Lord, they're across the street. They're sitting on the church pew. They're going the way of this world, wherever it might be, across the world. Oh, God, help us tonight as this preacher, myself, and as the pastor and the people here, and these missionary families are all at visit with us tonight. Oh, God, stir us about the fact that sinners are lost. They're helpless and hopeless and hell-bound and need the Savior. And their only hope is the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Lord, charge us and challenge us tonight. Convict us and convert us. We'll praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, this evening with a message for tonight from the Word of God. As I said, I want to preach on why I do not want sinners to go to hell. Now, I want to make this statement, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I want to make a point to start with. I do not know one person living or dead that I wish would go to hell. And I've never, in all my lifetime, of course, there was a reason why I had a daddy. But I've never told anybody to go to hell. I don't want sinners to go to hell. Matter of fact, I don't say most of it, but I've given my lifetime, over 55 years preaching the Word of God, and the bottom line is to keep sinners out of the flames of hell. Brother Six, and I feel very honored that God has allowed me and opened the door for me to preach in all the mission meetings that I've preached in all these years and the other meetings. And I do not do it for my health. I do not do it for my fame. I do it because the bottom line is souls are dying without the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are just two places to go. Those that are saved by the grace of God shall enjoy the blessings of God in heaven. Those who are not saved will lift their eyes in a Christless hell. While you and I are sitting here tonight in the comfort of this building, souls are dying. Souls are dying. I wonder how many in Mexico City die every minute, and the majority of them are not saved. How many amazing that every moment and the majority of them are not saved. I do want to say this tonight. We do believe it. We know it's true. But Christ Jesus died for all of them.
Right. Amen.
But all who do not hear the gospel and receive Christ, regardless of their statue and their culture, their society, will die in their sins and go to hell. If you want to make notes tonight, reason number one, I do not want sinners to die and go to hell. It's because of the plan of God in preparing hellfire. I read in our text tonight, God did not prepare hell for human beings. He prepared hell for the devil and his angel. If you'll pardon my expression, I want to say, let them have it. I will back up and say, I'm glad the devil's going to hell. I'd kind of like to be there when he's cast in the lake of fire and give him a right hand to footship. I'm glad he's going to hell. I'm glad the devil's angels are going to hell. But anyone else, are you ready for this statement I'm about to make? Anyone else who dies and goes to hell will go as an unwanted, unwelcomed person in the regions of the damned. You might say, well, Brother Blue, my friends are there. My family is there. I want to tell you, if we could pipe into hell tonight and you get a message from your friends and your family, they would not be saying, come on. They would not be saying, hurry on. They would not be saying, man, this is a high life. No. Out of hell tonight, they would say to you, stop. Listen what the preacher's saying. Turn from your sin to the Savior and be saved by the grace of God. I could spend a lot of time tonight to share with you from the Word of God several things, but I don't want to do it. I want to get on through what I believe God wants me to tonight. But number one, I do not want sinners to go to hell because of the plan of God in preparing hellfire. Number two, if you want to write it down, I don't want sinners to die and go to hell because of the people that's going to be there. Now, that's not a contradiction. Listen to what I'm saying. Nobody has to go to hell.
Right.
I mean, in the sense, Christ died for all. But at the same time, nobody has to be saved. God gives us a will. We hear the gospel, we accept it and accept Him and are saved, or we reject the gospel and reject Christ and die in our sins and go to hell. I know I'm going to spend a lot of time on this. The Bible said in Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9, and I'm not going to quote them all, but he said there in that verse of Scripture, be not deceived, neither fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of mankind, thieves, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, and whoremongers. None of them, God said, is going to heaven. They're going to hell. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation 21:8, the Bible said, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Then the Bible said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Here's what tears my heart out. You see, the wicked and the ungodly and the unrighteous, Brother Sexton, surely they, you know, they try to argue, but surely deep down, they know there's a good possibility they may be going to hell. But the religious people, whether it's in Mexico City, whether it's over in Beijing, wherever, if it's even right here at Blount County, wherever it's at, that'll be amazing to the people who will, can I say it this way, wake up shocked that they missed the rapture and were left behind because they trusted something false instead of Him who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Number three, write this down. I don't want sinners to die and go to hell because of the plan of God in preparing hell, because of the people that's going to be there. Number three, I don't want sinners to die and go to hell because of the pains that are going to be there. Somebody made a statement, and I shouldn't repeat it, but please allow me room to do it. Somebody made a statement now that we have gotten so far away from God that when we preach on hell, we act like it's air conditioned. I don't mean a disrespectful preacher, but I'm telling you the flames and the pains of hell are still as real tonight as they ever will have been or ever will be. Amen. The rich man is still crying out in hell. Father Abraham sent Lazarus down, may have mercy on me, and dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said to him, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. I'm telling you, only one word can describe the pains of hell. That's the word, torment. I tried to use this in my own imagination and to see if it would help me, and I'm going to give it to you. It's not what I really wish it was. But I'm trying to build a scale, preacher, toward torment. How is it? I don't feel good. I feel bad. Boy, I'm sick. Man, I'm hurting. I tell you, I feel awful. And Brother Doolittle, the last rung on the ladder is, I'm tormented. As far as I can determine, preacher, there is no word beyond tormented to describe pain. And there is no pain beyond the description of the pain that's in hell. I'm saying to you, my friend, that it's not just for a moment, it's forever. I don't want sinners that I can go to hell because of the pain that's going to be there. And before, I don't want sinners dying to go to hell because of the plan of God in preparing it. People are going to be there. The pain's going to be there. I don't want sinners dying to go to hell because of the period of lifespan in hell. Can I use these words, Brother Michael, understand these words? Being in the business that he was in for a number of years, Brother Mike, everybody that goes to hell gets a life sentence with no parole. A life sentence with no parole. But I was still pastoring up in Campbell County. I had prison ministry there at the jail every Wednesday. I was somewhat of the chaplain there for the sheriff at that time. We're going on Wednesday and we go through the maximum security. We go over on the other side and go down the catwalk and witness to people down through there and talk to them about the Lord. I remember one day I went in there and there was a man there who had been in the newspaper and on the radio for several days when the crime was committed, a heinous, a horrible, a terrible crime. I walked up to him, visited with him, talked with him. He didn't want to hear much about what I said. But one day I went in there and I walked up and he was willing to come up and talk with me. When he did, he told me, he said, preacher, would you pray for me? I go before the judge next week. And I'd have one or two options he'll give me, either life imprisonment or the electric chair. He looked at me with blinking back tears. Preacher, I don't want to die. Pray I'll get life. I went back and visited him a few days later, and sure enough, the judge did give him life. And he said something to me that blew my mind. He said to me, preacher, I said, they gave you life. I heard on the news. And he said, yes. And he said, you know what, preacher? I can serve a life sentence in 20 years. Here's what he said. You know, after all, 20 years is not long. I stood there for a moment and looked from where I was at age-wise then and looked back over 20 years. I had married my wife. I had fathered our three children. It seemed like we had lived two lifetimes in the last 20 years. And here's a man behind bars saying, I'll be here 20 years and 20 years is not long. I left the jail that day, got in my car, headed back down to the house and going down the road. That's running over in my mind. 20 years is not long. It seemed to me like the Holy Spirit said to me, yes, it is long, but it has a beginning. It has an ending. And though it may be 20 years away, he can look down the road and there's a little light at the end of the tunnel. God reminded me there are no 20-year sentences in hell. There is no 100 years. There's no 1,000 years. Everybody that goes to hell gets a life sentence for eternity, and they never die and shall never be paroled. As long as the saints of God are shouting in the presence of the Lord, sinners will be screaming and squalling and squirming and scorching and sizzling in the burning flames of hellfire. Forever. Forever, where the worm is, where the fire's not quenched, and the worm dieth not. Yes, that applies to the millions in Mexico City. It applies to the millions in Beijing. But it applies to the thousands right here in Blount County. It's just as lost as the heathen are anywhere in the world. Can I turn the page for just a moment? Let me say to you, number five. Number one, I don't want sinners to die and go to hell because of the plan of God in preparing it, because of the people going to be there, because of the pain going to be there, because of the period of life span there. But I'm so glad I can say this. I don't want sinners to die and go to hell because of the price that was paid to keep them out. I ask myself, as I'm preparing to preach tonight, thinking about this, and throughout these days, I've had to ask myself, am I really aware of the fact that the Lord paid for every sin of every sinner? We preach against the false doctrine of hyper-Calvinism, fatalism. We preach that Christ died for all men. But yet sometimes by our actions, we act more like Calvinists. You don't understand what I'm saying? We act like, you know, if we're supposed to be saved, then we'll be saved. I want to tell you, that's not God's will. I'll deal with that a little bit later on, but let me go back to what I'm talking about. The price that was paid for sinners to be saved. Could I remind you, it was not stocks and bonds issued. It's not houses and land we're talking about. It's not bank accounts. It's not dollars and cents we're talking about. But God Almighty, whom we know from the Bible, is the judge of all. Saw a world of sinners in need of a Savior. God saw there's one hope for redemption. You see, the sin is in the blood. And to redeem sinful blood, we had to have a sinless blood. The only sinless blood that exists in the eons of the world anywhere today is the blood of God Himself. So God said, if we're going to redeem them, sins in the blood, and so we must get the incorruptible blood of God down there and then put it on the altar of God as a sacrifice for the sin of the world, so that sinners can be saved by the grace of God. I do not know the detail, preacher, but it's like Jesus said, Father, I'll go. I'll leave heaven and its home and its throne for a hill called Calvary and a tree to hang upon. I will wrap myself up in human flesh. I'll leave that for 33 years. I'll fulfill every jot and every tittle of the law. I'll do everything that's necessary to redeem all mankind. And then I will walk up that hill to Calvary, carrying my cross. I'll let them beat on me. I'll let them spit on me. I'll let them ridicule me. I'll let them mock me. And Lord, whatever it takes, I will yield myself to do Your will, to pay the price that sinners can be saved by the grace of God. I could spend a lot of time dealing with it. I'm not going to. But the songwriter set up Calvary's mountain. One dreadful morn. Wow, Christ the Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that He might save them, us, from endless loss. He who knew no sin became sin for every sinner of Adam's race. He who had no sins took my sin and your sin in his own body on the tree and paid our sin debt. So you and I could be saved and be saved by the grace of God. And by the way, I'm not trying to be instructive to the missionaries in particular when I say this, but that's the message the lost world needs. You're a sinner, you cannot save yourself, but God loves you and Christ died for you. That's the message, that's the gospel, that's the power of God unto salvation, that Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners. He was crucified according to the Scriptures. Buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Why? To pay my sin. I don't want to be too dramatic, but let me say this. You read through the Bible and you'll understand at least what I'm saying, the picture I'm coming from. Brother Sexton, throughout the entire Word of God, there's what we want. There are altars that are visible. Abraham built an altar. Several built altars. There are altars that are visible. But there's an altar that's invisible. It's known as the altar of God. Through the ages, God had somebody build another altar. You know why they built another altar? To kill another sacrifice. To shed some more blood. And all those sacrifices in the Old Testament, none of them took away one. They just postponed the judgment. Somebody said it's like a bank note. They just paid the interest, but didn't touch the principle of what the cost of sin would be. As a result of that, that altar of God had an ongoing cry. You know what it was? Sacrifice! 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 Kill another animal! Sprinkle some more blood! Kill another animal! Sprinkle some more blood! Sacrifice! And for the 4,000 years from Adam to Christ, the altar cries out, sacrifice! 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 But when Jesus Christ hung between the heavens and earth, shed his blood, took it and put it on the altar in heaven, the mercy seat of God. The altar of God cried out, satisfied! 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 And no other lambs have to die. No other bloods have to be shed. I'm saying you, we have a message. Thank God the price is paid. Nobody's going to pay anything. We receive what God paid for us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 6, write this down, I'll close. The plan of God in preparing hell, the people going to be there. Pain going to be there. The period of lifespan. The price that was paid. I don't want sinners to die and go to hell because of the plan. That's so simple. I was preaching on the radio the other day, not from this text, but this thought comes to my mind. I even tried to imagine, Brother Doolittle, and I said, this is crazy for a man to do, but I even tried to imagine, what kind of plan would I have developed? Preacher, if I had been God, and I looked at my own creation that had rebelled against me, what kind of plan would I have given for them to have to go through and get back? I'll just say this and leave it. You can study on it later. I promise you, it wouldn't have been a free gift of mercy and grace. God looked at it and said, no works, no water baptism, no wealth, no wishing, no wanting. I got to say it again. When that blood was put on that altar, God wrote it down. The sin of every sinner was paid in full, stamped in the blood of Christ, and nobody has to pay anything or do anything to go to heaven. My heart cries out, but preacher, how can a wayward, wicked sinner come into possession of such a wonderful salvation? Can I give you these? I'm going to back up and say this again. They must hear the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The person of the gospel is Christ. The power of God, the gospel, is unto salvation. The prospect of the gospel is to everyone, and the plan of the gospel is that believeth. You know what a sinner must do to be saved? And they will never do this and can never do this until they hear the gospel. Number one, I'm using the word realize. Maybe I'll use the word be made aware of. I'm going to use the word realize. No sinner will ever be saved until they realize they're a sinner. I know we live in a day of the lovey-dovey gospel grace, you know, and good God. But I'm telling you, the law brings condemnation. We need preaching. The reason there's so much sin in our pews, there's so little preaching on it against it in our pulpits. The missionary must go to the field, and just from one observation from the Scripture, got to go there and got to cry out, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible concludes that all are sinned, Jew and Gentile, they must be known through the preacher word of God that they are a sinner. Amen. Number two, they got to be made known or made to realize they're going to hell. I don't believe anybody will ever be saved until they, can I say this? Until they get afraid of going to hell.
Right.
Now, preachers, fellow laborers, men, women, boys, and girls, and everybody else that's here, I want to say this. I did not get saved just because I found out God loved me. That played an important role in it, but something had to happen first. It's wonderful to quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That sinner must be made aware of the fact he is a sinner and he's going to hell. Number three, that sinner's got to be made aware of the fact he cannot save himself. Matter of fact, can I say this? A sinner, all of us were one time. If you're saved, you're a saved sinner. But I'm telling you, no sinner, a sinner preacher can't even help God save him. One of my first tracks that I remember, I was still probably in my middle teens, maybe 16 or 17 years old, and I went to a place to pick up some tracks at our church, and I found a track that said, what must I do to be saved? And I got a bunch of them. In fact, we passed them out for several years at our church. On the back of that track, preacher, was this little story. On a Sunday morning service, the preacher preached his message, gave invitation. And we just used the name John for a namesake. Little John, 9 years old, came down to the altar. The preacher, as we'd do, motioned to one of the men, pray with him, you know. He got down and prayed with him, and a little bit he got up. And the preacher said, John, what happened? He said, called him up, said, what happened, John? He said, I got saved. The preacher thought he pursued him. He said, who saved? And he said, me and God. 9 year old, typical. Preacher thought, how am I going to get out of this? And he just looked down at him and said, John, what do you mean, you and God? He thought a minute, he looked at him and said, preacher, I've done the letting, and God done the saving. Now, I come to conclusion that the theologians cannot improve upon that. No sinner can do anything but just let God save them. Realize you're a sinner. Realize you're going to hell. Realize you cannot save yourself. And then turn from your sin to the Savior with repentance and faith. And that quick, the job's done. God does the saving. We send missionaries to the foreign field to preach the Word of God to them, show them they're sinners. Show them God loves them. Show them Christ died for them. Show them the simple plan of salvation. And I know I'm just dealing with evangelistic. I know there's baptism and stabilizing disciples. I'm not minimizing that. I'm talking about they're going to hell until they realize they're a sinner. They realize they're going to save themselves. Then they realize that Jesus died for them. You know, it's a great day when you learn John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I'm glad He loved the world. It's a great day in Ephesians 5:25 when you learn that Christ loved the church. I'm glad He loved the church. But I'm telling you, preacher, I love Galatians too. He loved me and gave Himself for me. All a sinner must do, hear the Word of God, realize, be made by the Spirit of God to realize they're lost, and just simply turn from their sin to the Savior and receive Him. God will save them. Again, I want to give you these two verses that I'm through. How are we saved? I'm not laying a trap. We're saved by grace through faith. Can I get an amen? All right, let me go a step further. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. Grace is God's part. Faith is man's part. Now, the hyper-Calvinists don't believe that, but I do believe the Bible teaches that. Grace has already happened. The sin that's been paid. For every sin of every Well, how does a person come from sins to Christ to be saved? You must hear. That hearing produces faith, Romans 10:17. And that faith, preacher, causes that sinner to take that step and come to Christ. But watch this, 9-2. I've quoted about half a dozen times. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it. Now let me ask you, what is that it? It's got to be the gospel. That's the antecedent of that. For the gospel is the power of God. Watch me. Not to salvation. Not for salvation. Not in salvation. But unto. The gospel has the ability to grab a sinner where they're at and not turn them loose. Till it brings them unto salvation. Why do we need the family in Mexico? Why do we need the family in Beijing? Why do we need all you? Why do we need pastors? Why do we need people like me? The only hope of heaven. A sinner must hear they're saved. They're a sinner. They cannot save themselves. They're going to hell. But God loves them. Christ died for them. If they turn from their sin to the Savior, receive Him, He'll save them. By His grace. Let's stand together. Please, our heads about, eyes are closed. I felt strangely moved on by the Lord to bring this message in this hour tonight. I preached a message with the weight of the mission meeting on my heart, challenged these missionaries that are here. I preached it also with a fear that there's people right here in this building tonight that are lost, that are unsaved. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I remind you, you'll go to the same hell sinners go to. You'll go to the same hell the heathen go to. You go to the same hell those who've never heard the gospel go to. And in reality, your torments in hell will be greater because you're going to have memories to deal with. But on this Wednesday night, the beginning of this missions revival here at the Ridgeview Baptist Church of Brother Sexton and his people, this could be the night. You turn from your sin to the Savior. Call on the Lord for salvation, and God will save you tonight. Father, honor your word. Use it to your glory. Make it a blessing and save every sinner in this building tonight. Charge and challenge every missionary and every saved person, Lord, to get the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. For those who are unsaved, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we singing here, brother? All right, sing it for us. The altar's open. If you need to come and pray, come. Even if you're a Christian.